During independence, when the British left and Kenya took over, was Kenya ready to take over?
To be in charge of their own affairs?
Yeah, I mean, there was some discussion, and from books that I have read on African history, Kenyan history, that the transition was very quick. It was too quick.
Yeah.
And people were not educated in the transition.
Yeah.
They didn't, democracy takes a long time to figure
Absolutely,
out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the colonizers left, and here you are.
Yeah.
And so maybe talk about that a little bit.
To me, I think Kenyan becoming independent in the 1963, it was not something which was right by then. It was too early because Kenya was still a young nation. Our population was, I think, less than 10 million, because I was not born then. I was born in 1980. So everything about independence, I'm only reading in history or in books.
Mm-hmm.
But the struggle was between six people, the Kapenguria Six. These were the freedom fighters. We have Jaramogi Oginga Odinga. We have Achieng Oneko. We have Paul Ngei, Dedan Kaggia, Jomo Kenyatta, and the other one, I can't remember his name. But after that, the first president was to be Jaramogi Oginga Odinga. But Jaramogi Oginga Odinga, being a diplomat, he said to the colonial masters that I cannot take the reins of this country unless Jomo Kenyatta is released from prison.
Mm.
So when Jomo Kenyatta was released from prison, that is when Jaramogi Oginga Odinga endorsed him for presidency.
Mm.
And coming back to if Kenya was ready for independence, I think we were not ready. I think we could have been colonized in late 90s or early 90s, like South Africa, 1994.
Mm.
Because we believed by then we were still not informed, we were still illiterate, we never understood what governance is, we didn't know truly what our issues were, you see that? But what brought the glamour for colonization was because of how Kenyans were suffering. They were being murdered, they were being put squatters. There was kipande system whereby if you could not have a kipande, you're not being regarded as a pro-government. You see that? So things came up. And there
was many people in outlying areas that were certainly marginalized and certainly displaced from lands. Yeah,
it was a huge problem. And majorly what led to the independence of Kenya was the issue of land. And the issue of land is still a contentious issue up to today, because that is what is bringing the problem. The first family, and that is the first family, the first president's family, where the fourth president of the Republic, Uhuru Kenyatta, comes from. They own the huge parcel of land, 295,000 acres of land. And this one is still being perceived as marginalization, because there is no way one family can have a huge province. For example, a province of Kenya whereby close to 3 million people are living. One family is owning such a huge parcel of land.
So you can go back in history
and
look at the first president
who
consumed that amount of land and didn't bother to give it back after colonization was officially over.
Yeah. Now, the issue of land has been dealt with. There is a report which was named Krigler Report.
Mm.
Krigler Report came up with issues of land, where it all started, why it started, who have been involved, and which communities have suffered. So the report came, and the families who contributed to the issue of land, whereby even the first president, the first president and his family were involved, are also in the report. So this report, after it was brought, it was taken to parliament, it was discussed, it was adapted, and the recommendations were passed. So up to now, the implementation has not taken place down 4 years. It's because the president, who is majorly involved, his family, which has been majorly involved in the land issues, does not want to implement this report because they will be majorly affected. You see that? So in the 2017 elections, land is going to be an emotive issue, because the moment it is raised in every election, that is where now the heaven breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't come from Luo and you are in our land, we chase you away. If you are in Rift Valley and you are not supposed to belong in Rift Valley, you've been chased away.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in coast and you don't belong to coast, you've been chased away. So it's all about issues of land.
I'm going to interrupt you there. I got to ask you, when is Kenya going to become Kenya? When are tribal disputes going to end in order to become unified so that you can move forward? Now, this is coming from a Western perspective,
yes.
Certainly not an African or yes. a Kenyan one,
yeah.
But I suppose that is one question that a lot of Westerners ask because we certainly don't understand the concept.
Yeah.
Can you kind of touch on that a bit?
For sure, thank you. I want to say that Kenya is a beautiful land. Kenya is a safe haven. In fact, before 2007 elections, Kenya was regarded as a safe haven in East Africa and Africa, whereby all refugees from Tamil nations could come and have refuge. But Kenya, being a young nation in terms of our population, right now 65% of Kenya is young people.
Mm-hmm.
And this population wants to know the truth. Why are we having such a huge difference? So whenever the truth is told, instead of people healing, people get more angry to retaliate.
What do you mean by the truth?
Now, the truth is this, that our people were killed, Luo people, some of them suffered their lives because they tried to stand for the truth. If you could oppose the government of those days, the only resort was assassination. And that's where Robert Ouko was killed. Tom Mboya was killed. J.J. Kariuki was killed. And many more are still continuing dying because of speaking. When you speak the truth, it's like you are opening the people's eyes, you are opening their ears to know what truly belongs to them. And that one has been done majorly with the opposition leader. He has opened the democratic space whereby each and every Kenyan now knows their right, they know where they stand, and they know where they stop. And this is what made the government of KANU to collapse. Because when we were growing up, we were being told even mentioning the name of president in public was a crime. Television was not being opened 24 hours. It was being opened at 4 p.m. in the evening and being shut down in the middle of the night.
So media was being regulated.
Media was being regulated. So there was nothing like Kenyans to be informed. There was no freedom of information.
You know, I have to interject something here because it just popped into my mind. I remember
yes.
being here, I think either it was last September or maybe even last March, when I was in Kilgoris, and
yeah.
there were some political issues going on in Nairobi, some
yes.
demonstrations where I think there was a few people that were killed.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the ATMs and could not withdraw money.
Yes.
And I remember I could not get on to social media.
Okay.
And then I was educated on the fact that when these things happen, there's a media blackout.
Yeah, that, when was that? Which year was that?
Well, that was just 2016.
2016, that's last year.
Yeah.
Now, that is the time when we were fighting for the removal of the IEBC commissioners, mm-hmm. which are now out.
Mm-hmm.
And to take you back in 2007, when the president rigged in and was sworn in, the entire country was blackout.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolute blackout for about 3 hours. Then after that, rumors spread that Raila Odinga, Ruto, and those who were in the opposition side were arrested. So it is like the country was in the dark. We didn't know what was happening in Nairobi.
Mm.
Because the moment we knew, the country would erupt into chaos.
Mm.
So to come back, if Kenya, it will be Kenya, when will we get to be Kenyans? I think we are in the right path. We are fighting for our democratic space. We are fighting for our voices to be heard.
Yeah.
And 2017 will mark the defining moment when now Raila Odinga will be sworn the president. Whichever way, because this government is planning to rig. If he rigs, the Raila Odinga will be sworn in president because 2007 was Snatch's victory. 2013 was Snatch's victory. And we cannot allow, as a nation, to go to that trend. The reason why this is happening, somebody wants to control and take Kenyans to the dark days.
Yeah.
And
and as you were saying, more and more people are educated. They know their rights.
Yes.
They know what's going on.
Yes.
They suffer from old wounds.
Yes.
And they are not going to allow this to happen.
Yes.
Anymore.
No.
So it looks like there's really only one person that is really going to be elected in
yeah.
August, and that is going to be the official opposition leader.
Raila Amolo Odinga.
Yeah.
And the reason why we are optimistic, right now we have formed what is called NASA. NASA has brought the ANC, African National Congress, ODM, Orange Democratic Party, with Wiper Party, and other small political parties which were in the opposition. Today is 4th. Today is 4th. They are having their first major political party in the government region, perceived Jubilee dominance area, and that is in Bomet, to launch this NASA movement. And at the same time, we have people who are in the government, the Jubilee government, crossing the line and joining the opposition in the NASA. So this one is giving Kenyans hope that we are now going to where we have been yearning for too long.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And right now, I did say before that there is voter empathy. People are not taking votes, registering to be voters as required. And this is because in the media reports, they are saying there is no point for me to take a vote because it will be rigged. My voice will not be heard. I will not be respected. So what is the point of me going to vote? What is the point of me taking a voting card? So this has brought a problem. But if the confidence can be brought back whereby the person they have been yearning for the last 10 years.
Yeah, you know something? I'm going to interrupt again,
yes.
Moses. You know, I think it's really important people do get out and vote. And on the flip side of that, I have to understand the issue. And especially if votes are going to be rigged, you know, people now are dismayed. They're not very confident in the system. So why would I go out and vote? But on the flip side of that again,
yes.
You know, you have to keep trying. You have to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And you have to keep making your voice heard. You know, you just, anyway.
Yeah, the issue of voting... On the media, there's been public campaign for people to forget what happened, for people to go and register as voters. Now, it has been a campaign for the last almost 3.5 weeks because this is coming to an end on 14th of this month. So it is not that people don't want to register as voters. There is a dilly-dallying that the government on the Bureau of registration of persons has been doing through the executive. Areas perceived to be opposition strongholds, identification cards have not been given. So you find at this time when people are supposed to go and take a vote, register as voters, they go out to register as Kenyan citizens by obtaining IDs, which are essential for voting as a voter. So you realize the registration of voters is going on. But those who are coming to register are those who had not registered before. They have identification cards.
So new voters.
But those who are many queuing for huge lines, you might think they are registering as voters, yet they are applying for an identification card.
Okay.
Which is an essential document for you to register as a voter.
Right.
So this is where the blunder has come from. So recently, the president gave a directive that the process of application for identification cards should take 3 days. And you realize in the areas perceived to government dominance areas, it's taking 3 days. But in areas perceived to be opposition strongholds, it's taking 2 months. So when this happens, a lot of opposition supporters will not be having voting card. And
there's too much
the other side will be having voter's card.
Yeah.
But even if that still continues, they don't have the numbers. Recently, you heard the government is registering Ethiopian citizens to take registration of voters in Kenya. An MP perceived to the government side was also arrested in Uganda for recruiting voters from Uganda Nation. So Kenyans want to vote, and Kenyans are still optimistic, and Kenyans believe the reality they have been looking for is going to come. And even if you go outside there, they tell you, they cry foul that We have a problem when you want to secure the crucial document, that is the identification cards. The local leaders, the chiefs, are not ready. Whenever you go, they send you to where you were born. And sometimes you don't have fare to go there, you don't have time. And this one has made people to give up on the application of identification cards.
Thank you for listening to part one of a two-part series with Moses Aoma from Kisumu, Kenya. Due to time constraints, we have to sign off until next time. Please stay tuned for part two with Moses Aoma in Kisumu, Kenya.